Hello, my name's Rob Seltzer. Welcome to Exiled Eagles. And much like Joel Ward in a Palace shirt, no one saw this was going to happen again, but we've done it again. We are back. It's joining me today is the usual suspects. Firstly, down in Melbourne, Ned Rock. How are you, Ned?
Good, thanks. Just beautifully sort of brought that audio back up accidentally. Just cut you off nicely. Just thought we'll own the little technical error there, rather than just pretend it didn't happen. Doing very well, thank you. It's been a great however many months it's been without having to see you. So that's been a positive. Missed Mark and Dale, but otherwise all good.
Starts as we mean to go on. Dale down in the Shire. How are you, Dale Quarty?
Good, thanks. Don't know if anyone saw the news. There's a red-tailed boa constrictor on the loose in the Shire at the moment. So,
Sorry.
yeah, one of my Irish friends has just sold her house. It's on the hunt for a new one. So I have a feeling she's let the snakes loose, trying to drive down some property prices.
Not something you hear about normally in the UK. Oh, there's a boa constrictor on the loose. Look out. And somewhere there is a lot of boa constrictors on the loose up in Queensland. Marky Werner, that's not just you, Mark, actual boa constrictors. Mark Werner, how are you, bud?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Lovely segue there.
Rather pay me the big bucks, mate.
It's actually one of your
Yeah,
best. One of your best.
for the unsuspecting viewers at home. Yeah, I'm good, mate. Up here in Brizzy, and it's April, so I've got a t-shirt back on for a couple of months, which is annoying, but obviously visually more pleasing for you blokes till spring has sprung or will sprung. Will spring in the future? I'm not sure, but I'm good, mate. Good to see your face, despite what Ned says, and Ned's face, and Dale's. And Dale, I hope that wasn't a euphemism that you mentioned earlier, and that they catch that snake.
Well, there's many ways I could have gone with that, but no euphemisms here.
Fair play.
We're not that type of pod, you disgusting bugger. All right, so look, obviously it's been 6, 7 years since we last podded, so stuff's happened. So we're not going to talk about all the games, but we're going to talk about the ones that matter. And the one that matters the most this weekend was a 9-man Palace beating an eventually 10-man Brighton. Talk me through it, guys. How good was it? How did you feel in the last 12 minutes of that game, Dale?
I'm not going to lie. I said it in a text to you lot in a WhatsApp group, and I'm going to ask, I legit had tears. I like just the way, and I'd never get like this around football, but just the sound of the crowd, seeing how everyone was just trying their absolute guts out. Maxence Lacroix, who was dead 10 minutes earlier, was running on the pitch 30 seconds too early. I mean, they should have let him play. He looked absolutely fine to me. Just great. And like, I don't think, yes, it adds it. It was against Brighton, but I think against anyone, that result is just, I think I heard today, it's only the third time in Premier League history that a team's gone down to 9 men and won, and the first time a team's done it at home, which is a bit weird. Because I think we've set that history off the back of all the amazing stuff that's happened recently for the club. It's just unreal. Hats off to JP, who I thought was brilliant. His goal was sensational. Hats off to, and we saw another Adam Wharton masterclass in there. Yes, he went off injured, but Maxence Lacroix was amazing. Dean Henderson, I mean, Jesus Christ. So he didn't have a massive amount to do, but for that save at the end alone, you think, wow. Like, and I'm hands up, I'll take accountability. I said it at the time, we should have kept Johnson and sold Henderson. Well, been proven very, very wrong. I mean, Henderson's just been superb in a Palace shirt. So, look, what can you say? I'm sure we will discuss the cards element. Anthony Taylor, I don't mind that he let a lot of stuff go. To me, that's fine. I'm cool with that. But I think in the Nketiah case, I've got an issue with the first card. He didn't dive. I've got I don't have an issue with the second card, but I think as a Palace fan, after what we saw happen to JP, we can't have an issue with somebody getting kicked in the head. But, you know, it wasn't malicious. It was a yellow card. Unfortunate for him. But, you know, I'll leave the referee bashing to Rob. But all in all, what a performance. What a result. Taking 6 points off Brighton. If they had those 6 points, they'll be fourth in the league. Unlucky.
But just before I hand over to Mike, you wanted that. Adam Wharton, until you have a world-class centre midfielder, you don't realise how good they are. Like, I mean, Jimmy Mack, for example, brilliant central midfielder for us. Was brilliant. But then you see what Wharton does. You're like, oh my God. Like, we know he's just passing through. But, I mean, when we had Elise, I said he's going to the top. And if you look at his stats now, but you look at Wharton, I'm like, he's going to the exact same place that Michael Elise is going to. What a player. Like,
low class Johan, goodbye.
Oof, well, I mean, in Elise, he's not quite up there with Jeremy Doku, but we can move that one on slightly as well for you too. All right, let's go on to Mikey Warner. I mean, how did you feel about the performance in general at Brighton? Obviously, amazing win, but how did you feel the performance and how that last 10 minutes or 12 minutes?
Yeah, was I went to the cheat sheets a little bit on this one. I just got my times confused with daylight saving and so forth. I thought it was a 1 a.m. kickoff, and I had a bit of shit to do. So I was like, "Fuck! I'm not sitting up till 1, which means I'll be getting, you know, lights out at 3." But fuck your Sunday, obviously. So I was still up at midnight, and then I don't remember, I saw something else, and then I might have flicked over to Optus, and then I noticed it was on. So then I doubled back. I thought, oh fuck it, I'll watch midnight till 2. Then I was steaming drunk. I've been on the suds for several hours. Fell asleep in bed with my headphones on watching the game. I got about 22 minutes in. Woke up at about 4. Didn't know the result, packed it all in, and then, as I said, I had a bunch of shit to do Sunday, so I just watched the mini-match. So I took a leaf out of your book, Rob, the big one, the 25-minute one, not the fucking 3-minute jobby that you normally sort out.
Pointless. Can't see anything else. Pointless.
But it was tremendous, yeah. It was great. All those things coupled together, what I got to see of it, and you could see at the ground, it was just absolutely heaving, and some dodgy shit calls in there, but I mean, it was, how resolute was it to do fucking Brighton with 9? I think the 12 minutes is absolute theatre. Would have been a proper day out at Selhurst, as our man on the ground, Mr. Howland, can attest to, and just fantastic. I wasn't aware of those numbers, Dale. If I had been 6 points, they'd be fourth. That's beautiful. It sucks shit. Couldn't happen to a better mob, really. Was it Welbeck scores? For them, are my confusing games now. They thought they're going to be all that in a bag of chips and soon I'm packing. But my main kudos is to old mate that did. I think Brighton had a marathon down there the next day. And so some bloke's got himself a Palace kit with 9 men as the name and 2-1 for the score.
How? I mean, what time does the club shop close?
Late, obviously. Unless Som Kersen put in a bloody express post or something for him. I thought that was absolute quality by that gentleman. I don't know who he is, but hats off to you, sir.
Surely the club shop was saving for like a half hour after the game. Like, you know,
people... I think I do. If it's still the same, and I'm going back to, this was 2009 when my first trip back to the UK after living there. We were in the Championship and I watched the Wednesday night game. I played Bolt or something like that. And the club shop, there must have been some work going on, was literally in a converted like shipping container at the ground, and they were open after the game, and that was on a Wednesday night. So
I'm pretty sure it's normally open after the game for a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
when I went back to Selhurst in October, I was with the kids, so, and my wife couldn't wait to get out of there. So
match days, club shop opens at 9 a.m. until kickoff. and then 60 minutes after full time.
There we go.
There you go. Well, he's
There you
much straight
go.
in
And
there.
the one in the ghetto that is Croydon is open until 7 p.m. on a Saturday.
There you go. So
He could have had a whole suite of shirts.
That's it. The
Exactly.
bloke drunk on emotion.
Not
Whatever.
even impressive anymore.
Good decision. What about you, Ned? How did you feel about it all when watching it?
Oh, it was a bit underwhelming. Not much of a
Excellent. Well said, Ned. So
pretty
we
ordinary
can.
game, to be honest, not much happened. I did like the fact that they had the score represented by little red marks up in the top corner as well. That was nice. That was a good touch to really celebrate the goals. I mean, like just that atmosphere afterwards just looked fantastic. I mean, you can see there's a really, there's a group of players that are really together and, behind each other, not just for the effort on the pitch, but also, just they clearly, have a good time, and they, they're building a really good culture there. I think, I'm intrigued to see how, our defense goes against Manchester City this weekend with, I'm assuming Rob Holding might even be allowed back in the training ground at this rate with the amount of players that are either injured or suspended. It's probably more likely Ollie Glasner will just suit up, get the boots on instead. But so that'll be interesting. But I mean, nothing, take nothing away from that. I mean, what an atmosphere, what a, just great to pick up 3 points. 1933, I think, was the last time that the double was done by either Palace or Brighton over the other. So last. So quite happy to have that bit of history there. Didn't quite get to the 100 years. Wait. Fantastic. I think it's all been touched on so far.
And Ned, you would take the ramshackle defense and the 5-0 defeat by Man City.
Oh,
Or
every day of the week. Every day of the week. Every day of the week, twice on Sundays. No, 100% for that. No, not a problem whatsoever. I mean, having said that, Manchester City aren't beating anyone 5-0 at the moment, which I now
No.
put on record,
Well, you've
which
gone
means
and
that
said it
we're
now, haven't
definitely
you?
losing 12-0 instead. So apologies in advance for that. But at least I'll have to find someone new to score the goals because without Haaland, so I guess Jeremy Doku's up.
Jeremy Doku, right. But yeah, to Dale's point, there was no tears, but I haven't reacted that vigorously to when Van Hecker took out Kamada. Like, I mean, I was screaming at the TV, but like he's screaming. Like, I was watching with my eldest, and even he looked at me like, "What you're on?" Luckily, the wife was at, I think she was at Pilates or something. She was out because
Careful, mate. She's walking back and forth behind
no, she's gone for showering. She just came back from the, it's just good, but like she was out. But yeah, I was screaming, holy shit. But that, the just to Ned's point about, the togetherness, but you've just seen Henderson knowing the game was over and that kind of controlling the crowd with this, knowing that as soon as he kicks his step, we've just held on with night. It was just brilliant. It was just absolutely brilliant. And yes, agree, take that and then lose to City on Saturday. Who gives? Who give? Although, we're only 4 points off seventh, I think. So, gonna run.
Thereabouts. There or thereabouts.
We're there.
We're going to win the FA Cup, Rob, though, so the league position is
Exactly.
irrelevant.
That's what another
That's where
beautiful
Europe, that's where we're
segue.
getting a European run, so it's fine.
A beautiful segue. So we're going to start talking about the FA Cup now. So that's the league done. Sweet. We battered for them. We absolutely battered them. I don't know what else to say. Like, we were superb. Well, I mean, comparing how brilliant and how smooth you were against Fulham, don't worry about Southampton, who cares? But like that Fulham performance, that Ned, was it almost like the perfect away performance?
Yeah,
But
it was great. I think, the first sort of half hour was sitting there watching it, and it was, we had a good turnout. We're at, at the pub. So we were, we're there watching for the first sort of half hour, and it was a little bit cagey. They had a couple of chances, and we sort of went, okay, we'll see what happens here. And then as soon as that first goal went in, it was one of those ones where usually you're watching Palace, and particularly if you're at the pub, sort of. You get a bit tense and nervous as the game sort of goes on. Most of the second half, I was just chatting away with people. It was just so calm. It was like, well, we've got this in the bag. There's no There was just complete confidence. It was, you could sort of, it was on in the background, and we were, we're planning the, what we're doing for the semi-finals and all sorts straight away. There's just such control, and you don't, you haven't really had that much with Palace before. I mean, even it's just one of those things that you don't usually have, because you sort of have that, that it's just one goal away from something changing, but it just didn't look like it was going to happen. Just a very, very, very comfortable watch in the second half, which is, for an FA Cup quarter final, is not a thing you usually get to say. So it was very happy about that. Two more very comfortable watches would be very nice, in the FA Cup, if we could
That
manage that.
we'll certainly come to that, but yeah, it really was. The first 15 were a bit hairy. I think we looked a bit nervous potentially, or a bit.
Wharton did try very hard to get himself sent off. He tried very hard,
Better
but then,
go.
once he gave up on getting himself sent off, it was all over.
Yeah, oh, it was just superb. And Dale, then, to kind of just to talk about the Fulham game a little bit, and we talked this maybe like on Ebbs, especially, like he scored for England during the week, scored a cracking goal against Fulham, and he's looking a bit like the Ebbs of the end of last season now. It feels like there's confidence back in there.
Yeah, I think first of all, in that Fulham win, it reminded me of two games. The first one was Fulham a month earlier, whatever, where started slow but were never not in control. I think I remember when the draw got made, people were saying, "Oh my God, what awful draw for us!" It's like, apart from Preston at home, I think Fulham was the perfect fixture. And the other game it reminded me of was a couple of years ago when we beat Leeds 5-1 away. Again, just probably started a little bit slow, but then never looked out of control of that game. So love it when that happens. Yeah, with regards to Ebbs, look, been critical of him this season because he hasn't looked the same. Then you see his stats and like the number of assists he's provided. And then if not that, the hockey assists, so the pass before the pass. And it's insane. Right, the guy's been superb. He's got one of the best dribble success rates in the league. So ultimately, what can we say about Ebbs apart from let's enjoy him whilst we can? He's been great. I mean, England, people who don't watch Palace probably just assume he's a little bit like a Zaha, right? But the reality is, you put him in an England setup where you've got your Saka, your Gordons, your Bowens, your Rashfords, all those guys are doing is using pace to beat people, right? And what England probably need on occasion is someone with a bit of guile, someone who can do something a little bit different. And that is Ebbs. Palace fans have seen it. Like, he doesn't go at a million miles an hour, but somehow no one can get the ball off him. He can find a good pass. He's obviously got a heck of a shot on him. And I dread to think what would have happened if the goal against Brentford, the first game of the season, was allowed to stand, because we probably would see this guy with 15 goals and 12 assists. Like, it's just, yeah, he's great. I hope his release clause has got removed. It probably hasn't. I don't know how it all worked. But yeah, he's another one who we're going to do very well to keep hold of if he continues with this sort of form, because it's great to see him back to this.
A couple of points, and one being there's absolutely zero chance he hasn't got a release clause in his contract.
No, but I just wonder, because obviously the release clause last summer was only up until a certain date. So I just wonder what that
He will have
means. But he had one. But it obviously hasn't got one that continued, because up past a certain date, people weren't able to trigger it. So I just wonder what the go is again. That's all.
Which leads me to the second part question then, because at the start of the season, everyone was critical, and that he was probably playing with a bit carrying a bit of an injury, and like we had to play him because, one, we had no players, and two, he was the only creative spark. What team? Let's say the release cost is around about the 50, 60 million mark. You'd say it's probably been around that Elise territory. Which team pays that money for him?
United,
Bayern Munich.
City,
Yeah.
Chelsea,
But like,
Liverpool,
why City? City,
Tottenham.
who? City don't need it. City's just gone and spent.
I'm telling you now,
tons of money.
You asked
Spurs
who would pay that money for him.
won't pay it.
You're
Spurs won't
asking
pay the
who will pay
money.
that money for him.
No
It'll be
chance Spurs will.
Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea,
Who would he
Man
replace
City,
Liverpool?
Man United, Tottenham, all the big boys will pay that money for him.
Nah. Otherwise, I think they would have done. That of these would who out of all those plays like City, Liverpool, Spurs are crap. Don't worry about Spurs. Arsenal. Who's he getting over?
Well, Liverpool are going to lose, look like they're going to lose Salah, right? So there's going to be a spot.
Different player.
Huh?
Very different player.
Yeah, but different manager, mate. He might want to change it up, right? He hadn't changed too much. He might decide to change it up. Man United, he'll get in over any one of their
Oh,
front
but I don't
three.
think he goes to Man United. Man United are a basket case.
Yeah, but
Yeah, but
it's
Man
not.
United are also paying 400 grand a week for
Thank
players.
you.
I mean, it's not, they're a basket case, but they're a basket case with cash. And
Yeah.
they're still, a big club for want of a better term, despite the fact we'll finish above them in the league.
Yeah.
Unless that starts happening every single year, they've got obscene amounts of money that they can throw at players that comes in from shirt sales and all sorts around the world, that most of those other clubs can't match. So, I mean, you look at, regardless of position, I mean, you say, don't worry about Spurs, they're crap. Well, yes, they are, but that doesn't mean that
They
if
won't
they
pay.
wanted to go
Spurs
to
will not
some
pay the
money,
money and then pay him what he wants.
well, they could though. They usually they'll do that for one or two players. They don't do it to the same extent that other clubs do. But they went and signed Dominic Solanke for far too much. They went and signed Brennan Johnson for far too much. They've got money there that they can spend if they want to. If they decided that they really wanted Eberechiese, then they would absolutely have the means to go, here you go, Palace. Here is all of the money. Here you go, Ebs. Here is all of the money. And we would just have to go, fair enough.
Dominic Solanke, Bournemouth to Spurs, reported fee of £55 million plus 10 million in bonuses. So they will pay the money.
Yeah, but then you look, and I'm not taking this into a Spurs podcast, but if you look at who they didn't have another striker. There was no other striker. Eberechiese plays in the same position as James Maddison or Heung-Min Son.
Yeah, but
So,
Son's just about ready to. I think Son's just about ready to move on from there, to be honest. He's
well, look, we don't know. We're
on
not
the
a Spurs
decline.
podcast. I'm saying that they're
If
not going
Son
to
all of a
come.
sudden goes and takes a payday, because Son, being an Asian player, would be worth 10 times as much in, say, a Saudi Arabia if they wanted to go and pay it, because he counts as a plus one for them. So if all of a sudden they decide, well, we're going to cash in on him, then that spot opens up. So, I mean, I think dismissing a club like Spurs is silly, but because they have got more resources than we do. But regardless, there's a bunch of clubs that would come in and would happily take Ebs if that's an option, for them. I'm hoping that, we are able to hold off, but realistically, we're going to lose a couple of big players this year, and we're going to continue to do that. Ebs is definitely one of those that is one that people are going to look at, as is Wharton, as is Daniel Munoz, as apparently is Mateta. There's a whole bunch of those players that people, Mark Guéhi, obviously, Lacroix, people will come sniffing around for, Glasner, people are going to come sniffing around for, not a player, but so we don't have the resources and the capacity. If a big Champions League club comes in and goes, we want these guys, or even if it's a Spurs, if they come in and go, we want these guys and we're going to pay top dollar, there is nothing we can do about that. They're going to go.
I think Gahey obviously goes in the summer. And I think it's one of Mateta or Nunes will go in the
I
summer.
don't think it's an obvious with Gahey. I
I think
think if we win the FA Cup,
no way.
I think if we win the FA Cup and we're in Europe, I think that puts question marks over a lot of potential transfers because a lot of people would be leaving to further themselves and to further themselves, they play in Europe. If we are suddenly in Europe, we might get an extra year out of some of these players. If Gahey turns around and says, because we're in Europe, I'll sign a 3-year deal with a £60 million release clause, knowing that if we bomb out of Europe and finish 17th in the league, he can go. I reckon he'll sign that, but we have to be in Europe.
I think
I think that he
I would
helps.
love that to happen. I don't think it's got any chance. I think he's given us, he owes us nothing. He's given us 5 really, really strong years. We've got him into being an international. This summer he goes, whether we win the FA Cup or not.
You'd
Because
think
we,
so.
yeah,
You'd think
because
so.
you
Good
would
on for
think
getting the
so.
layout up.
I'm not in the camp that's saying he's going to stay. All I'm saying is, I think winning the FA Cup and being in Europe, which is what these boys want to do,
Yeah.
changes that
Yeah.
viewpoint a little bit.
100%.
Yeah, look, I agree, but I
The
mean,
only difference,
the only difference would be is I think that makes a difference for any of the players potentially moving on to say a United or a Spurs potentially. If a big Champions League club comes in,
Yeah. See you
then
later.
they're going to go, cool, well, I could play in the Europa League and get knocked out, by Christmas, or I can go and potentially win the Champions League. Thanks, Palace. It's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. Okay, he's a Champions League footballer. Oh, Mark, I appreciate having come to you for a moment. So I want to just touch on one of the players from the Fulham game. Ismaila Sarr. He's been superb. Like, he question marks were over him at the start of the season. Everyone was like, why have we spent, why did Dougie want him for so long? And that type of stuff. But how do you think he's gone in the last couple of months?
Gangbusters. He's been
Think.
great. Was that a game? I think he hit the bar early doors or something. And I don't know. Was there calls about him maybe not cutting the mustard? I thought he kind of hit the ground running with us and just gone from strength to strength. He had some lovely finishes with a couple of his goals there that have been back top shelf. Myself, looking at him. I wasn't that fussed on him coming in, but he's certainly been a great foil to others around him this season. They're all kind of playing out their skin, so I reckon he's been fantastic. Could be another one on the list that might get inquiries about. Let's face it, I mean, no one's really fucking resting on their laurels this season, and it could be it could be trying to replace a lot of these guys. Might have to get the band back together and give Roy a shout, Wardy back out there, Won't be all doom and gloom.
Get Wilf back.
Yeah.
Well, that'll finish Dale off. Like, not supporting his club until he goes. Straight away. Hates him. Hates him. Unbelievable. All right, here's a question, just like off the cuff then. Look, JP has turned himself into a superb striker. Well, Champions League club comes along. If let's say he hasn't got, I don't know what the contract situation is. I know they're talk like they're talking about one or whatever. I'd be surprised if he had a release clause in it unless he signed a new one. Champions League club or a club, doesn't matter, Champions League club, a club comes along, offers us 80 million for Mateta. Do you take it? Proven Premier League striker, got what, nearly 20 odd last season, has 16 this season, is perfect for the system we play, is clearly a person that the dressing room love. Do you take 80 million in the summer for JP?
Yes.
Yeah, you almost have to, don't you?
Yeah, you have to, and in Glasnow we trust.
I think. Well, I think. Yeah, I think as if I think in Glasnow we trust. I think is a really big point with that because I think you sit there and you go, "Do you take it?" Absolutely. I think you do take it. Remembering that 18 months ago, maybe a little bit more, where you're talking about a player who. You didn't even want him in the team. We wanted Odson Edouard in the team. Well,
Couldn't get in front of
lots
Edouard,
of
could
people
be.
wanted, Odson Edouard is sort of, a genuine option ahead of him. And I think you've got to give a bit of credit to the coaching staff for taking a player that wasn't very good and turning him into what he is today, which is fantastic. At the end of the day, at some point, he's either going to move on. Get old, get injured, whatever it is that's going to happen, because that's football. That's what happens. You don't get players forever. And you're going to have to try and find the next one. Finding the next one's going to be a lot easier if you've got £80 million in the bank than it is if you don't.
Is it though? Is it though? So, like, I mean,
Well, you have to find one eventually. I mean,
yeah, but you
JP's not
don't,
going
they're
to
not.
suddenly be the greatest striker Palace has ever had forever and ever and play till he's 56.
No, I know. Look, I mean, my personal view is I'm of opinion of like that. If he's at the peak of his powers right now. If someone's going to offer us, we're at the tip, right? If someone's going to offer us 80 million, we take it, because then I still think he's got good years left in him. But maybe if we keep him for the like another 3 years, he's going to be a 30 million at best pound footballer, and then there's a $50 million gap. But with 80 million, yes, but it also means we've got 80 million burning a hole. Look at
Mate,
United and the money they spent.
don't
Look
listen.
at West Ham and the
Let's
money they
look.
spent.
Let's look at ourselves. All right, it's not worry about them,
No, I'm saying
because
that
they pay over odds. All right,
they may pay for us.
we to a man, I can guarantee you, 99% of Palace fans didn't have a clue who Maxence Lacroix was and if he was any good. And people were going, "Oh, you can't get rid of Joachim Andersen," and look what happened. All right, the world of football is that people will leave, and if 80 million comes in, your Crystal Palace. You take it, and the club has a backup plan. The club has to have a plan. Say, if they lose someone like Jean-Philippe Mateta, there is someone else. Now, is that someone else Eddie Nketiah? We don't know because he hasn't had a run of games. But hey, it took Jean-Philippe Mateta 2 years to be good for us. It could take Eddie the same amount of time. We could go and spend 25 of that million on a striker and 30 more on another striker. And then we find that before we find one who's good, the bottom line is, unfortunately for us, if an £80 million bid comes in for Jean-Philippe Mateta, we're probably saying yes, and he's probably saying yes,
I agree.
because a percentage of that money goes to him, and the wages that come on top of that are probably going to keep him set pretty much forever and a day. So 80 million comes, he's gone.
I agree that I agree, but I just think that there's huge risk involved with looking for strip. Like, there's no, I mean, there's no guarantee any player will fit.
Huge risk of every transfer, though.
Yeah, I agree, but I
There's
feel like
huge
there's
risk of us having release clauses on half our squad. Danny Munoz has a release clause. There's
that's why they signed for us, though. That they won't sign for something.
I
Mateta.
know, mate, I know they weren't signed for us, but what I'm saying is, it's football. It's the game. It's
Oh yeah,
not.
but no,
It's
I've got.
not. It's not like American sports where your contract, if you come in, you stay to the end of your contract, and then you can or you agitate for a move. 80 million. Keeps us afloat for a year. And I know that sounds really silly to say because we're a Premier League club, but 80 million is massively important to us. So yeah, we take it. Simple as.
Yeah, I agree. I'd take it too. I mean, it's 80 million. It's 80 million quid. But I just think it's that. You're then hoping you find a striker that fits our system, and it may be Eddie Nketiah, but it may not be. And we spent 30 million there,
We've
right? So,
had this discussion a bunch of times though, in terms of the only way that the club is going to be sustainable
oh,
is
yeah, I
if
know that
we simply
rotate.
compete. And we sell them at the peak of their powers when they're expensive. Not necessarily always the peak, but you bring in, you buy your three £20 million players. If one of them comes good, you sell them for 80, fantastic. Then you fund the next three, and then and you just continue going along that sort of path. And that's the only way we're going to be sustainable, at least in the medium term, until we either get bought by a country or we sort of end up
Yeah, no, that's the
going.
model, right? That's the model. And I mean, if Wharton's got a release clause in, hey ho, but I hope his release clause is 100 million plus, because
I think a lot of the release clauses that we have, if we take advantage and sign on someone for 10 million, the release clause is usually at least 30 or 40. I think what we, what the release clauses that we put in, it's not like we're going, yeah, you can go for, 10 million quid. It's a case of, we go, yeah, look, it's a, you've got a player who's a £100 million player, but we get them in for 10 to 20 and you have the release clause for 50. Sure, they might be a £100 million player, but you're still making £30 million profit. Plus, you're getting your 3 years of absolute quality out of, your Olise, your Wharton, your whatever it is. It's still a great deal. Is it, are you making as much money as you would like to when you sell them? No. But that's what gets them in the door. That's what gets us playing good football that we want to watch. And that's what gets other good quality players like that wanting to come to replace them. And it becomes a sort of self-fulfilling cycle. If you do it that way, if you hold on to them and go, you can't go unless it's 100 million, well, no one wants to come to us as that stepping stone.
I think we've proven that we don't do that. Elise, Gehi will go, Wharton will go in a couple of years. No one's coming. No one's paid the money that we wanted for Eze. We're still not going to get bent over a barrel, just because we should let them go. We can stay on this conversation for ages, fellas. So I'll move it on. I think obviously Villa's really important. We all know we want to go. Who here? I'll move it past Villa. Let's say we get through to the final. Who here is going to the final? Apart from Dale, like
No.
you going
No,
there?
love to, but no, not this time around.
No,
No, too
can't
much
swing
shit
it.
on.
Too much shit on.
Yeah, if
Wrist.
someone come and
Flicker.
run my business for me for a week, I'd be gone. But when your complete labour force comprises of numero uno, it's a bit fucking hard to jump on a big
Who
bird
the
and fuck off
easy
the
to get
other
the
side of the
time off
world.
though, if that's easy to get the time off. I mean,
Who
you
the Tony King special round the
did?
boss.
Didn't TK, wasn't he like fly in on the Friday game, Saturday, fly out Sunday, and just basically bang and
I
basically
did
don't
that.
stay?
Yeah, I did that for the
I did
last
that.
one. I left on Monday.
I was
on the ground for 61 hours.
There you
I flew in. Yeah, but it's not. That's the fucking add-ons either side of it. It's a killer. If it was just the weekend, for sure. But it's about a 5 day turnaround for a weekend in London. So,
Yeah.
yeah, not a money thing. Just kind of a time off the tools for it. Unfortunately, I don't know if I'd get a ticket, but yeah, otherwise it'd be quids in.
Yeah, looking at it and being given the green light, which is good. Flights are only 1700, and if you go on
Nice.
Etihad, you get up to 2 nights free stay in Abu Dhabi on the way back.
Yeah.
Hard to take.
Yeah,
Now,
Etihad are giving you 2 nights for free. Stay in the hotel in Abu Dhabi in wherever. But
is Carrie across this special that Eddie had a trundling out?
she is, yeah, her is her mate who told me actually.
In her presence.
Caveat has been that because I'll go for a week, has been, am I taking a Kia? He wouldn't go to the game, but still. No, look, I think obviously Celts and I were lucky enough to be back 3 years ago for the semi-final. That was awesome. We'd love to see us go one step further in a final. Like, I don't know. It's funny, isn't it? You say, I don't know how many times in my life we're going to get to an FA Cup final. If we get to this one, it'll be the third one. So we're not doing too bad, right? I said to Carrie the other day, you must think this is all roses and bloody rainbows. Since we've been together, there's been an FA Cup final, two semi-finals. The Broncos have won the Super Bowl. Nuggets have won the NBA. Colorado have won the Stanley Cup. This is like the best thing ever.
There you go. Steering
So
a lot of
yeah.
bandwagoning going on there, Dale.
Huh?
Hearing a lot of bandwagoning going on there, Dale.
Mate, they're all her. Mate, they're all Colorado teams. Mate, where she's from? Let's not forget that.
Go on a bit.
Yeah. Look, the question mark is obviously, can I get a ticket? I think when we went to the semi, Rob, there were loads of spare seats around. We obviously didn't sell our full allocation. I have a feeling if we get to a final, it would all be gone.
Think so.
So it becomes a can I get one, which is the bigger issue.
There were plenty of ways in 2016 or whenever it was we were there last time. I think I got offered about three or four.
Yeah, and this becomes my next point. If I go, am I prepared to chance my arm, get to Wembley, and pay X
A grand.
for a ticket? Which, if I do that, Mark, I might as well not come back home.
That's it.
Extend that stay in Abu Dhabi,
Yeah,
mate.
that's right. That's right. Sorry, hon. My passport, my
Oh,
visa's been revoked.
that's all right. Mark's workforce doubles. Yeah. The Abu Dhabi arm of his business takes off.
Come up here, mate. I'll get you my tools. No worries.
Yeah, so anyway.
Don't think I go, but I think about it because my oldest now watches every game with me. I'm thinking like if we do make it might be nice just to watch it with him. Like, I mean, he went to Wembley and he's a bit
He
younger,
left
but
in for half an hour with me.
yeah, oh, mate, I'll just get one beer. Holy shit. I've got 50. Anyway, moving on. All right. We've been rabbiting on, so we're gonna talk about some Aussie stuff. But the first bit of Aussie stuff we'll talk about is the charity game that we rekindled against Brighton. So well done to everyone involved with that. So Lewis, Sean, and the guys that kind of got that arranged. Unfortunately, I couldn't play because I had a cricket semi-final, I believe. My son was in, was it a grand final? One or two, whoever. Can't sound too bothered though, because it was 4,000 degrees. during the game. Dale, you were there. How did it go? Tell us about the day.
Yeah, look, first things first, obviously big shout out to Lewis and Sean, doing all of the organizing, the back and forth with the Brighton mob. We give them all the shit, obviously, about the Brighton fans, but it was a great day. It was really nice to see some very familiar faces from down the years. People coming up, like shaking hands and asking how you're doing. I think we figured out the last one must have been 2017, we think, was the
Jeez.
last one. Obviously, someone spat the dummy, and then there was COVID. So just
No
at the time,
names.
no names. Well, we all know who.
Jordo put in a terrible tackle, and that was the end of it.
Yeah, it's a long. It was long, a long leaf. Anyway,
Oh, God.
and funnily, you said that about the temperature, Rob. Oh, I said to Sean, I feel like every time we play these games, it is like hotter than the sun. It was hot, but it was good. Bunch of Palace fans. So new. I mean, like again, looking back at when we played the last one, the only people who would have played any time in the last one and this one would have been Jimmy, myself, Sean, and Scott Ingerfield, I think, were the only ones who would have survived the last one. And I'm very much on last legs. A week after playing in that, I did tear my hip flexor. I got delusions of grandeur that after playing 25 minutes for Palace, I could make a footballing comeback and tore my hip flexor, which was loads of fun. But it was great. Loads of people, some really excited Palace fans because they're excited to be amongst their own, right? Which they didn't know really existed. So that was great. Ultimately, we ran out, I think, 4-5-1 winners. As per usual, game starts off at a frenetic pace and gets slower as we go on. A heap of money was raised for charity again, looking at men's mental health, which something that's just not really spoken about, not really looked at, and still a bit of a taboo. But good on Lewis, who has openly spoken about his own issues and and put that has helped get that money together. All in all, very good. We're looking to try and get some more happening against other teams, and we're going to try and make the Brighton one back to being an annual thing. If we can get it back at King's
King's
School and
College.
these amazing facilities, it'll be great. But just to have it happening is brilliant. And the highlight for me, 2 minutes we managed to get a key on the pitch for and have a little bit of a run around. He is telling people that he played for Crystal Palace, which is brilliant, because that means I must have played for Crystal Palace as well. So how good? But yeah,
That's unreal.
it was good. Like all in all, really good day. As I said, Shawnee, Lewis, Sean's dad did a massive amount on the barbecue and bringing stuff in and cooking and just really good to see people who we haven't seen for a while, for various reasons, and looking forward to the next one.
So, quick question, and that it sounds. Firstly, it sounds an amazing day, and yeah, well done to Shawnee and Lewis and everyone involved, and a great amount of money raised for a great cause, and delighted to hear it's going to be an annual thing, so we can do more of that. I think it's really, really important. Quick main question, Adele: did you get a penalty? Did Akia get a penalty, and you take it?
No. So he did like do someone, which is quite hilarious. He knocked it past him, and the person, you saw their head just drop. You're like, I can't believe I've been done. And then he passed the ball to me, and in true dad fashion, I tried to level one from outside the box with the outside of my foot. And probably what I really should have done in hindsight is just roll it back to Ikea so he could run into the box and have a shot. Oh
Channel and abs there for a minute, mate.
yeah, that one's haunted me for a little bit since then. I'm quite happy he won't remember that, and it is on video as well. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, congratulations for Dad of the Year. Moving on to talk everything Australia, we'll hand over to Ned and Marky Mark.
Go on then. Yeah, bit happening here. Obviously, World Conquering Matildas back in town for a two-leg friendly get together with South Korea, winning 1-0 and 2-0 respectively. Just kept a couple of clean sheets there. Sam Kerr back gracing us with her presence on our shores in the green and gold, just to sit on the bench. Why the fuck that was even worth the airfare, I don't know. To the roars of the crowd when she was on the big screen. Of course, I've all forgotten what a complete cunt she was not so long ago in the back of a cab in England. So, well, very short memories here. You boys must have mute on because you're falling about, but there's no noise. So yeah, anyway, she's going to come back one day for Chelsea, I suppose, and wouldn't give a flying fuck if she never came back here or played for the green and gold at all ever again, because I don't tolerate her sort of nonsense. Some A-League happening. Ned, you've been tuned into a bit of that, mate. You're what were you griping about the other day on the A-League? You just put a cryptic message that said best league in the world. I didn't venture into it to see what you're referring to. What was
Oh,
that all about?
just the A-League, best league in the world.
Can I ask you a question, Ned? Is it the best league in the world, or is it the worst league in the world for defending? Because that's what appears to be the case.
It's the most entertaining league in the world, and I don't think it's not necessarily the defending is horrific. It's more the fact that because there's no relegation, the teams that are at the bottom just keep attacking, which is great to watch, because it means that you get like in terms of the score lines, there's some absolute crackers. There's some like they're good games and they're good goals, so it's one of those ones where. You sort of, if you were to take League One standard in the UK, but remove the pressure of potentially getting relegated to League Two and just go, everyone, you can just play attacking football and it's fine and there's no consequences to it. It's that level where there's some really good players. There's also some players, because they sort of lost all the money. It's a lot of younger players who haven't quite, who just play with a lot of freedom and naivety. And so you see some really good stuff and you see some interesting decisions being made as people sort of try and learn. But just some of the games, you know, you sort of sit there and it's, you got Auckland who've come in this year, I think have scored something like 70% of their goals or something, some ridiculous amount in like the last 15 minutes of each half, and they keep sort of, you know, finding a way to pull a win out in the 94th minute or just something ridiculous. You know, I was at the victory game last week where Carl Viet was a friend of the show, Carl Viet.
Yes, he is.
Sorry, I forgot to give him his proper title, who
Who?
friend of the show, Carl Viet. Palace legend and friend of the show. Sorry,
Perennial answer to our quiz that lived
perennial
on this
answer
show
to
once upon a
the quiz
time.
that we haven't done for
Don't you worry, I've got a good few questions for that coming up soon. I've been
Calviot.
exploring
There's
them.
a Calviot. Anyway, so he potentially might be out of a job at the end of the year is the rumor. But yeah, that was a cracking game. That finished 5-3. Had a couple of 5-4s recently, but it's just one of those. It's as a league. You know, there's a few atmospheres that sort of start going. I think your Sydney FC are currently playing in the Asian Cup, sort of the equivalent of the Europa League for Asia against the Lion City Sailors from
Oh.
Singapore. Well, that's definitely on tonight. I think the highlight of that was the reason that they're playing against the Lion City Sailors is that the Singaporean team was supposed to play a Korean side. They signed a bloke from the A-League called Valer Germain, and this is just to highlight why it's the best league in the world. You'll love this, Rob. So there's a bloke called Valer Germain, was captain of the MacArthur side in the A-League.
Bulls,
He
yeah.
got sent off for basically he flipped the referee off or something. He then quit the club in midweek, said the refereeing standard here is not good enough, went across to I believe it was Korea. They were supposed to play in the Champions League. Sorry, in this Europa League equivalent. He came off the bench. They'd completely forgotten that he was suspended. They won 5-0. The game got flipped to a 3-0 result to the Lion City Sailors, who were then able to hold on in the second leg and get their way through to the semi-final of the Asian equivalent of the Europa League against
What
Sydney
a
FC tonight. best
What a joke.
league
There you go.
in the world.
What's
I'm
the
going to set you
question,
say all
Tom?
this, and
Can't
I managed
best league in the
to.
world, though.
I've
Best league.
somehow managed to go to some of the most boring games ever. I went to a nil-nil the other week,
Yes,
and
Sydney's. Yeah, there's only been three all year.
and I managed to beat one of them.
Three nil all draws across the league for the entire season. And you went, yeah, good. To be
Box
fair, I went
office.
to one of them as well. But yeah, to be fair, Sydney tend to be a little bit more defensively compact, because they've got a few less children playing for them and a few more adults who actually understand that not conceding goals is beneficial. Whereas the rest of the league hasn't quite caught up to that level of understanding just yet.
I mean, look, I'm feeling slightly more qualified these days to comment on Aussie stuff, as I
Go
am
on.
going to more A-League matches. Taking a Kia, who's really enjoying it. The last one, I've got to say, the last one, he was sat there. He was really into it. Was asking me questions about it, and I'll just say, no, mate, they're just shit. Jagging, he loves it. And what I will give it props to is that Sydney FC, I haven't been to many other away games. Brisbane with you guys doesn't really count. They do it well. Like it's welcoming now for the kids, and it helps going to that stadium. And the A League, I take the piss every now and then about it, but I do look at, do check the results, because I get asked, did Sydney FC win? And I do look at those results, and I do wonder, Jesus Christ, what is going on here? Because it is just a goal fest every bloody week. It is insane.
Well, mate, Aki, he's had a run out for Palace and a run out for Sydney all in a couple of
Yeah,
weeks, yeah?
he got to, he was a mascot for, actually for Wellington, because he was the members, Sydney FC members got to walk out of Sydney FC. He walked out of Wellington, and the poor kid was about half the size of anyone else, and he looked absolutely lost when he was one, like out there. And they said, "All right, run that way," and I think he started running the opposite way, and so and some his little friend redirected him. But yeah, that was pretty cool as well.
He's waiting on the edge of the box here to pass the fucking ball. It was not forthcoming.
He's made up for it since, mate. He's practicing his maths at the moment. He's telling everybody he will listen. He's played two games and scored five goals and three goals, which makes eight. And he tells you
Yeah.
just like that, it makes eight, Daddy. Like, yes, mate, it does.
Oh, and I should hope that he plays the this coach picks the best team all season. So that's main thing for that. Yeah, well, that's amazing. So a couple of things I'll pick up for that, Marky. I'm not too sure your feelings on Sam Kerr, so if you could let me know, that'd
I
be
was a
good.
bit ambiguous
Yeah,
in my thoughts there.
exactly. It's a bit
I'm not
offensive.
sure. I mean, yeah, if from that two-legged affair, I can only hope. I mean, I know the second game was down in Newcastle. I can only trust that local councillor already have some sort of statue underway for the two-leg triumph down there. Friendly, it's obviously statue worthy. Sam Kerr front and centre, obviously, of that. Other stuff, other Aussie stuff, too, the jungle drums beating louder and louder by the day for Piled Ange, hanging on by a thread, with the hope of getting the boys over the line in Europe. I think they play what, Thursday night, Friday morning here against Frankfurt. I expect Frankfurt. So, mate, fingers crossed for him. I hope he sticks around, but I suspect even if he gets the chocolates there, I think he might be getting resold out the joint come the season's end, which is a shame. But will be the perfect replacement at Selhurst Park for Oleg Glasner when he fucks off. So, there's always that to look forward to.
Wonderful. Him or Steven Gerrard. Right. Any more for any more guys?
Oh yeah, quickly, and I can't remember the bloody bloke's name. Tony Detelf, Tony King, friend of the show and one-time host, was over in San Francisco recently,
Andre
and
Agassi.
went to interview Andre Agassi. Thank you, Dale, and run into Scott Shannon, a guy in the booth, I think, watching a Palace game, and he listens to the pod. Yes, Dale, I know who fucking Andre Agassi is. It
No.
wasn't who I was referring to.
Sorry, mate.
I
Just and a
think his
big
name was
shout out. A big
Jeff
shout out
or
to him.
Gary. I want to give him a shout out, and it's a poor one at that, because Dale's opting for Andre Agassi. It wasn't him, and
Sorry.
I've forgotten his name, and I couldn't be asked scrolling back through through the pod chat. A big shout out to you, sir, whoever you are. God bless you. Yeah, keep listening and get these numbers into double figures. It's great.
Well remembered. So I'll try and fill now what Dale does the scrolling. And by doing that, I will have a massive gripe with Ned because Ned said I would enjoy that story and I didn't about the player. So what's the audio version of Too Long Didn't Read?
I believe it's Shut Up Rob, I think is the response.
I mean, there is that, but I mean, I wasn't speaking at the time, so it'd have been difficult.
Dale has the has a name, so
Jerry, nice and simple.
Jerry
Jerry,
with the J or a G.
G, Jerry with a G.
Jerry
I was
with a
off the G.
G. I like you significantly more than I like Rob Seltzer.
Excellent.
Enjoy
Oh,
your
Jerry.
evening. Enjoy your
Working
evening.
hard, Jerry.
Jerry with a G. Thank you very much for the
Good on you,
support.
Jerry. Cheers, brother.
I feel like
I
I've
mean,
finished. All
just
right.
for the record, this conversation about Jerry with G was had on the 26th of February. And quite literally about 2 days later, the next comment was, "Let's pod." And I believe this is the next one since. See.
That's for a look.
Happy
What
New
is it? Let's peek behind the curtain, folks, or
it.
inside baseball. We fucking try and schedule this in for 2, 3 weeks on the bounce, and then invariably lock something in that shits the bed afternoon or evening of, and we can start the chat tomorrow for the next pod, and it'll still probably July. We'll get it out,
Yeah,
something like that.
end of
that's
season.
excellent. That's excellent. So, well, so everyone, you've heard, as Mark said, that is behind the scenes of Exiled Eagles and how hard this shit is to actually work out. We've been trying to do this for literally 2 months.
Yep.
And we've had about four full storms as well. Well, guys, I'll for any other than Jerry with a G, anything else? No. Wonderful. Well, it's always
Nah, all good.
a pleasure speaking to everyone, including you, Ned. I'm going to be the bigger man here.
Good on you.
And who cares about City? It's all about Villa. Up the Palace.
Bye.
Cheers, boys. Up the mighty.
Oh, there we go.